Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Christian Gonzalez continues to improve. Is there a chance that we could see him?
Well,
there's a chance.
I just asked questions too.
A few moments later.
You said there was a chance. Can you quantify that? I don't know if I said that there was a chance, right?
Well,
there's a chance.
I'm going to walk this back tomorrow.
And you can't take your eyes off
Thunder. I call him Young Thundercat.
This is WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Nick Fitzy Stevens, it's not how you got here, it's what you do when you get here.
I've heard that one before.
We try to live up to that on a daily basis here on WEEI Afternoons. It doesn't matter what happened before 2 o'clock. It's what you do from 2 to 6 here. And you heard those, I believe they call it a meld in the business behind the glass there of Gerard Mayo, Mike Vrabel. And that's where we're starting today. I teased it yesterday. I teased it because I think Mike Vrabel is a big believer in, you know, changing of talent. Doesn't matter if you were a first round pick or an undrafted rookie. If you have a good camp, you're going to play. You're going to get opportunities. We may find that out in the coming weeks with more and more players based on what's going on. But let's hold the coach to his own standard. Forget that Mike Vrabel coached in Tennessee. Forget that he led the Titans to an AFC championship game and his record and all those things.
Okay, that's a lot to forget, but okay, let's just judge him on the here and the now, just like you said. We're
on the here
only in the dojo.
And now for a 1-2 Patriots team that has six turnovers and 27 penalties in three games.
Didn't that seem like we watched a game last night on the national television with two teams that play very physically ferocious football, also known not for being terribly disciplined. I don't think combined they had 9 penalties, which is what the Patriots are averaging a game on their own.
Also with two coaches in that game that I think a lot of people believe are probably top 5 coaches in the National Football League right now. And that again brings us back to Mike Vrabel and Gerard Mayo. Gerard Mayo was practically literally run out of town. I don't know where he is other than one appearance at a Tennessee Volunteers football game down in Knoxville.
Could have been a lookalike for all we know.
Don't know what he's doing. Don't know where he's been. It was a laughing. It's called the Mayo Error. Not era, error. Where we make fun of everything he did. Press conferences were bad. Heck, even when he wins, he loses. He screwed up the number one pick. All of that. He got canned. Everything. Mm-hmm. And everything's supposed to be great now. Everything's better because you have whatever C word you want to use. Capable. Dan Ball popped his head up when I said C word.
Competence.
Whatever you want to use for Mike Vrabel. Except, have you noticed the results? Have you noticed the results on and off the field? It hasn't exactly been glowingly in press conferences and media sessions and all these things either. And on the field, he has a team that does not appear to be disciplined. May not be trending in the right direction, for all we know, only 3 weeks into the season, is already a disappointment in the eyes of some who had too high an expectation. So I want to know, Fitzy, based on just what he has done since he's been here, have you gotten return on investment from Mike Vrabel? Is he the high-end football coach you thought he was going to be? And if not, why does he seem like he's getting a pass from everybody?
The ROI thus far on the Vrabel era has not been what I thought it would be. But I am not about to panic sell this particular stock because, well, one, I don't think the organization could handle it at this point, given the tumultuous end of the Belichick era, the Gerard Mayo error, which began and ended with mistakes made to such a degree that the Patriots, Andy, just 4 years removed from finishing off the double dynastic run of 9 Super Bowl appearances and 6 Lombardis, and the band is up in the other end zone opposite the world's largest single panel television. Just 4 years removed from the greatest run in NFL history, became veritably the laughingstock of the NFL, which is still to this day painful and shameful. I think they need, obviously it's 3 games in, they're going to ride the Vrabel era out, but am I impressed to this point? No. Has he done any, and it, you know what happened is it all started late in training camp. It feels like all of a sudden the radiator started steaming and one of the wheels loosened up and may have even rolled off on the side of the highway with that third Giants preseason game, the evening of the Rats comment. Everything feels like it went sideways that night. And for some reason, all the confidence, all the braggadocio, all the Vrabel is going to truck this league. And man, playoffs, here we come. The Pats are, we're so back, I can't stand it. And for the last month plus, it has been unimpressive to say the least. You could say just the same way we said yesterday, like, oh, they could just as easily be 3-0. They're one running back footstep away from being 0-3 at the same time. Like, show me who had the Patriots as potentially being 0-3 by late September on their 2025 NFL bingo card.
So it's interesting you bring up that Giants preseason game, because the Rats comment certainly stole the show that night. We got a good week's worth of content out of it. I believe that was also the night he warned everybody or reminded everybody, you guys know this is our first year here. This is our first training camp. This is going to take a while. We're rebuilding here. It's our first year together as a staff. Almost like he started to sense something there. Gone was the guy who swaggered through winning March and April and the offseason. And at that podium was a guy who was suddenly realizing, we might not be as good as everybody thinks we are. And I would also question, they have more talent this year, right? He's better set up to succeed than a year ago. That's what I
was told. I mean, one would imagine that the draft, the roster shuffle, and the $204 million spent in free agency would have purchased more talent. I mean, you tell me, on the surface, does it look like they have more talent?
On the surface, it looks like they have more talent. I don't know that the more talent is resulting in more production on the football field. Also, quick question, who had the better coaching staff underneath him, Gerard Mayo or Mike Vrabel?
I'm pretty sure Mike Vrabel does, but then again, Mike Vrabel also didn't plan for his defense, his hand-picked Vrabro, because, you know, just don't forget, everyone that's in the circle right now veritably is a Vrabro, meaning like they're a buddy of his and he's coached with them before. I don't believe his hand-selected defensive coordinator having to bail basically on the games or a large part of his responsibilities was something he had in the cards as well. Last year, people laughed at the Patriots coaching. Oh, Al, you got dad genes calling plays. He's never been a proper coordinator. And you got somebody who was just promoted, DeMarcus Covington, who was promoted from D-line assistant or D-line coach. Like, they were laughed off the field last year. Same special teams coordinator, though.
Because they were the Wolfpack last year. You call them the what do you call them? The Vray Bros.
The Vray Bros. Yeah.
Last year, it wasn't the Mayo Bros because he didn't have a Rolodex. Remember, he had to lean into Elliot Wolf's Rolodex to find him a coaching staff for guys that weren't already here or he didn't play with or know already. And yet, the results, if we're taking it just on a 3-game sample, yep, preseason and then a 3-game regular season sample, I don't know that everything's been cleaned up, fixed, streamlined, or whatever you want to call it in the first month under Mike Vrabel. And yet, have you heard a lot of criticisms of Mike Vrabel? Because I haven't. I feel like he has kind of flown unscathed under the radar.
Why is he getting... Why do we believe that he is allowed to...
Three Super Bowl rings.
Why is he Teflon to the local...
Three Super Bowl rings. It's as simple. He's a member of the dynasty, the glory days, and you people want to relive the glory days. You want anything with a connection to the glory days, and he is a big part of that first dynasty. And I think that he has that shine on him. Mm-hmm. And that also, I think people want to crap all over Mayo and believe that has been flushed, right? They want to believe that you've turned a corner and you've turned it around and you've flushed the ineptitude of even the end of the Belichick era. If you're one of those that think he lost his way in the end, you want to believe that all has been fixed with the hiring of Vrabel. The problem is the results don't appear to say that everything has been fixed.
Not yet. No, and it's off to a, shall we say, an inauspicious start, to say the least. But I see you say it's the three Super Bowl rings, and oh, he was a part of the dynasty, just like anyone. If it was Edelman coaching, if it was Welker, he didn't have three Super Bowl rings, but you get the drift. Anyone associated with all the greatness that people continue to clutch to, because you full well know, as a native of the area, we love living us in some past.
And damn right.
We hold on to it. There's probably somewhere sitting in a Camaro listening to us as he just turned off his rat cassette moments ago. And you know what? I love that guy, him and his ripped jeans and his acid wash t-shirt. God bless him. But I also think a lot of the reason why people are so high on Mike Vrabel is because, A, January 2020, where he beat Belichick and sent Brady out of a Patriots uniform into the great COVID beyond, and then ultimately down to the pewter and creamsicle of Tampa.
Yeah, but
and
everybody's beaten Belichick since then.
I know there'd be a lot. Well, you could go hire the coach at TCU. You probably will hire Dabo Swinney this Saturday. Everyone's beating up on Belichick, but it's January 2020 as well. You know, made the AFC Championship, all that jazz. But also last year, everybody felt like Gerard Mayo was, and I think he kind of actually was, just making it up as he went. You know what it felt like? It felt like jazz coaching. Like, yeah, we'll just, you know, Elliot's going to get some guys. We'll come in here and we'll figure it out. Who cares if I'm 5 years too early for a job I'm unqualified for? No big deal. We're just going to figure it out. Everyone understands this is a rebuild. But it went so south, so sour, so quickly, he had to get fired on the final day, where he screwed up the number one draft pick and wasn't as bad as the Buffalo Bills. Who actually tanked worse, even though they're a great team. Mike Vrabel projects this aura, Andy. Like, he's, you know, it's a big comment the Youngs always use, like, oh, so much aura. This is aura. Like, Mike Vrabel has that aura that I think people have bought into, and they believe, like, I'll trust that man. Like, I'll follow him into hell. Like, you know, I'll take that leap of faith and that big first step with him. And thus far, I don't know, like, there have been some curious moves. And I wonder, like, how long is it going to take for this roster to come together? Because, like, you know, it doesn't seem like anyone's afraid of the New England Patriots yet, or again.
617-779-7937. I'm going to ask a question to you, the listener, as well as Nick Fitzy Stevens. Give me a grade for Mike Vrabel through the first, whatever this is, 9 months of his tenure in New England. And make sure that you're kind of relating it to whatever grade you would have given Gerard Mayo at the same point a year ago.
C-.
C-. Okay. Mm-hmm. That is, in the Hart household, that would get you a little sit down at the dinner table with mom and dad, find out what the hell's going on and how we're going to fix this. Because unacceptable.
The older son recently told us, he's like, I'm not going to bother studying for this quiz. I got this. I got an A. Came home with a C. We had a sit down.
Did you hit him?
No.
Just asking.
Did I strike him? What is this, the 80s?
I wanted to put it all on the table.
My mom used to use yardsticks and Fisher-Price golf clubs on me on the regular. Anything that was within reach if I misbehaved.
Wooden spoon?
Was fair game. Oh, caught that a couple times on the backside, sure. But no. Like, yeah, why wouldn't a C? Like, a C-minus probably just caught a few people off guard. Like, oh, my God, Fitzy's harshing on the Pats. What's he talking about? This hasn't been great. The 27 penalties? Are you kidding me?
And then excusing the penalties. Like, there's two issues there. It's one thing for you to say, we got a lot of new players. We got young players. The penalties, this, that, whatever. But then for him to go on the Greg Hill show and say, well, you know, I've really learned over the years that there's not a correlation between penalties and winning and losing, and kind of dismissing it. And also, multiple weeks in a row, kind of questioning the officiating crew. If you make excuses, don't you give your players the rope to make their own excuses, right? Aren't you sort of...
Hate that.
I do, too.
I hate the excuses. And honestly, I'm sorry. Like, Sunday was embarrassing. Like, you know, as we remove ourselves further, and I know we're going to get, like, as we've been told, and can continue to tease and promote all the way until the big guy sits down for the 3 o'clock hour. He's got details, analysis, and more. This game has sat worse and worse and worse with me since it, like, you had no business losing that game on Sunday. Your team turning the ball over five times plus on downs, which basically means six turnovers, is really, 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 like, that's bad.
It happens every 17 years or whatever it is. It happened in 2008. You were due.
What about maybe some, anyone?
Happened under Belichick in 08.
17 years ago with Matt Cassel. Hey, has anyone gone to Amazon.com and bought like Ramondre, like some rubber sleeves or something that he could wear? Like, you know, like those grip sleeves. So that
they do have those on IG. Those pop into my feed sometimes. Maybe. I don't know if they're legal in the NFL. My guess is they're not. And but yeah, he should probably try something old school. Just stick them something that sprays on. But those are not the only issues. Two Ramondre fumbles. That would be a Ramondre issue. We're talking about the overall turnovers, the penalties, the decision-making, the comments on a Monday, then beep, 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 backing it up. Well, it was Monday at 6:30. What did you want from me? I was tired. It was coming off a loss. Like, the excuse-making is something that I didn't think I'd get from Mike Vrabel. And that, I think, is the thing with me that is sitting the worst, is that there tends to be not these overt making excuses for his football team. They're a little bit more below the surface, but you listen to the answer and you're like, he kind of just made an excuse for his players or his football team. I didn't think Hardo Vrabel, I didn't think would be a big time excuse maker early on in his tenure.
Can I tell you something else that's really not sitting well with me? Now, obviously, we all came into this season and this was addressed on the Greg Hill Show with Mike Vrabel when he said, yeah, we ran the ball a lot because I had Derrick Henry as, you know, on my football team in Tennessee. He was my best player. That's what you do. Maybe you shouldn't do it as much in the fourth quarter because now he's got a ball spit up issue as well. But, you know, I think people thought like, oh, this is going to be a, I said it too. Expect the Pats to be a power run team early and often. It'll set up the pass. They've been passing out of necessity and dire need because they can't get the run game going. Andy, I was sitting down poring over all the offensive stats for the Patriots thus far in the season. You know, the average depth of target, your leading receivers, Hunter Henry, that's not good enough, even though the guy's been having a great season thus far. Your leading rusher, who is it and with how many yards?
Your leading rusher is probably Drake May with 80 yards.
Man, you're almost as good as that as I am, guessing the percentage of people in the daily jump.
Was I right?
Poll. Drake May with 87 yards.
Wow. I mean, that's not good.
That's
good.
That's pathetic.
Three games
into the season, your quarterback is your leading rusher with an average of 29 yards a game. I don't want to sound like Brady on the sideline. Guys, what are we doing?
Oh, good. I thought you were going to talk about kicking a dog because that gets you in trouble with PETA. So let's not go down
by
that
the way,
road.
Side note, what up with that, Tom? Jeez.
Are you good today, Andy?
What do you mean?
You're very violent to open this
Tom
show today.
Brady brought it up with, what, not me. He brought up kicking the dog. I thought he had dogs. I thought he was a dog lover. I would never kick my dogs. I don't know about Tom Brady, and now Pete is noticing that he's saying irresponsible things for $37 million a year on Fox.
I'm just checking in. Just making sure you're doing all right from asking Fitzy if he hits his kids to this.
I just
okay. Just want to make sure that everyone else was on board with the fact that, like, there's a bit of, you know what it is, Dan? There's a little bit of a tone in this in this afternoon's intro.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear that.
So
I was more the concerning words coming out of his mouth, but I'll go with tone as well.
And we're at a crossroads here for Mike Vrabel, because if you remember, one of the glaring mistakes of the Gerard Mayo era, there were many to pick from, was his handling of Ramondre Stevenson after he fumbled. Remember, I don't remember the exact details, but he's going to be benched. It was told to the pregame show. Everybody said he's going to be benched. And then the first play of the game, Ramondre Stevenson is not benched. He's on the field. And Mike Vrabel's in the same situation. How are you going to handle your lead running back fumbling yet again? It's an ongoing issue for him in his career. Mm-hmm. And post-game, he certainly sounded like he's not going to be benched. He certainly sounded like there may be some more rope. And I do think you need him. I get it. These are those tough decisions that are made, right? We see college coaches all the time. Your best basketball player does something really dumb. You're going to suspend him? Yeah, but if I suspend him, then we lose. And when we lose, I probably lose my job. So I'm not going to suspend him. We're going to handle the discipline internally. We won't let you know. But believe me, he learned from his mistake. And we're going to handle the discipline internally. If Ramondre Stevenson starts this week or doesn't see his workload altered, doesn't that tell you there's no ramifications for your mistakes? Like, there's no
just totally validates
accountability?
Well, it says that they're completely desperate. There's no accountability, and that making mistakes is okay. Around, like, hey, you know what, kids? We all make mistakes. That's fine. Like, you know, throwing a back-breaking pick at the end of the game, those things happen sometimes. You know, hey, they get paid to play too, bro. But two fumbles in the same game, one of which was on the half-inch line. Like, you can't – I'm sorry. It's just like this is a multi-billion-dollar business. You can't do things like that. That costs the Patriots dearly. And being allowed to be a repeat offender sets a terrible precedent for a coach who promised us when he was hired entitlement would be removed from the building. They were going to earn the right to play and bring the fans back to the stadium each and every Sunday, Andy, and they were going to make sure they took advantage of bad football. It's just that he forgot to mention that they were going to be the perpetrators of most of the bad football.
617-779-7937. How would you grade the first few weeks here in the regular season of the Mike Vrabel era? And how would you compare it to Gerard Mayo? Is it being criticized or compared properly to the former coach who was run out of town just a year ago? We'll sprinkle that in throughout the show. Your phone calls. We'll ask Ted Johnson. I'll be interested to get his opinion on that situation when he arrives at 3 o'clock. 3:30 Ted Talk, the in-detail rundown of everything Ted Johnson saw in that horrific loss to the Steelers. But up next, our weekly chat with Mark Schlereth. Going to be interested to see what he thinks of how a team turns the ball over five times is handled by their head coach. But first, we have Dan Ball with What's Trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Walk. The Red Sox open up a three-game series on the road against the Toronto Blue Jays tonight. First pitch of game one is set for 7:07. Lucas Giolito is on the mound for the Sox opposite Kevin Gausman. And you can listen to tonight's game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. MassMutual pregame show with Christian Arcanis tonight at 6:07, and Will Fleming and Mike Monaco have the call of the game. Garrett Crochet goes for the Sox tomorrow, with Brian Baio slated to go on Thursday. Also new within the hour, per ESPN's Jeff Passan, Major League Baseball will implement a challenge system for balls and strikes in the 2026 season after the league's competition committee voted to usher in the era of robot umpiring. Patriots players are off today. New England hosts the Carolina Panthers on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Both teams are 1-2. The Panthers beat the Falcons 30-0 this weekend to pick up their first win of the year. From around the league, 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa will miss the rest of the regular season with a torn ACL in his right knee. Chargers running back Najee Harris is also done for the year after he suffered a season-ending Achilles tear. The Giants are planning to bench quarterback Russell Wilson in favor of first-round rookie Jackson Dart. And Tampa Bay Buccaneers star wide receiver Mike Evans is expected to miss 3 to 4 weeks with a strained left hamstring. And finally, the Bruins return to the ice for their second preseason game this evening. They visit the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden. Puck drop is at 7 p.m. Join the fight against suicide on Saturday, October 25th at the Out of the Darkness Walk on the Boston Common to prevent suicide and raise awareness about mental health. Proceeds benefit the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Register today at afsp.org/Boston Walk. That's afsp.org/Boston Walk. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, Tuesday at 2:30, quickly becoming one of my favorite segments of the week as we go to the phone lines, talk to our buddy Mark Schlereth. We're joined by the Odyssey NFL Insider, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Mr. Schlereth will be broadcasting the Patriots-Panthers this week for Fox, so we have a little even more insight and tie-ins to the game, and I'm not sure who you pissed off to get this assignment of a football team that fumbled, turned it over five times.
Yeah, sorry in advance, Dink.
Yeah, I took a leak in somebody's Cheerios. but you know what? Hey, listen, man, It's NFL football. It's always good. And it's amazing. I'm actually sitting in the kitchen in my son's house in Tampa Bay because my granddaughter turned 9 yesterday, and I'm watching Patriots football as we speak. And, you know, you look at it, and it's always interesting to me because you think about your own career, when you guys, you know, when you became good, when you flipped the switch, when your team learned how to win, when your team quit making stupid mistakes, you know, the penalties, all the issues that you get into. And you see some of the, like, you see some of the things that are precursors to being good. You see dominance offensively, 369 yards to 200 yards or whatever it was, rushing, all those things. I don't care who you are. You don't overcome 5 turnovers. I'm sorry. It just doesn't happen. But I do see some good things on tape that at least make you go, gosh, you know what? They're close to being decent. They're close to being good. And it'll be interesting to see exactly kind of how they build off some of the success and eliminate some of the issues they had.
So during your time as an NFL player, Mark, how did you handle turnovers? As in, you know, obviously you guys are fighting with every last ounce of breath and effort to, like, clear people out of the way so that the running back can blast through. And, oh, son of a blank, they just put the ball on the carpet again. Did you try to always keep the running back's mood up? Did you let him know that that was unacceptable? Like, how to handle it? Because the Pats spit in the bit 6 times on Sunday is just, it was embarrassing for the fans.
You just don't talk. You got enough of your own problems. I never really talk to guys like, hey, hold on to the ball or whatever. Everybody's given great effort, you know, and it's never just one dude or one thing. There are so many intricate things. Like, so I just watched the interception with 12 seconds left in the end zone on the tip ball to Hayward, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so I just saw that Echols gets the interception. Well, you know, from a play calling standpoint, you've got Douglas coming down in motion, right? And they're running a high-low concept down on the goal line. And so what you're trying to do is get Douglas right on the goal line so that the cornerback Echols can't get any depth. So you're creating this high-low separation. He's got to make a decision. Well, you short motion him from the outside to the inside, and he gets caught up in his short motion with the offensive tackle and the pass rusher. So he never gets out in the flat. So he truly doesn't affect the corner. And the ball does get tipped, but the corner's got more depth than he would have had Douglas been right there on the line of scrimmage. So that's one of those things that looks good in a meeting, and you're like, hey, man, we're going to get him with this, and we're going to get this release. And then all of a sudden you get tied up in the garbage, in the flow, and now all of a sudden that corner can get more depth and get that interception. It either falls harmlessly or maybe you even catch a touchdown. But because of the combination of those two things, those are the things that happen. So it's never just one thing. It's not just, oh, Hayward tipped the ball, or, hey, man, you know, we got to put more air under it. And all those things are true. But the bottom line, from a design standpoint, if you look at yourself critically as a coach, you're like, that, you know what, hindsight being 2020, that was really stupid. And so it's everybody, and that's how you have to approach it as an organization. So I always looked at it like, hey, man, I got enough of my own issues, and I am trying to bust my ass here to get these things done, and those guys are doing the same thing. I trust my teammates. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes I get beat. Sometimes they put the ball on the ground. It's unfortunate, but it does happen.
Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide here on WEEI Afternoons. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Mark, we've been talking about Mike Vrabel, what we expected, what we thought we were getting, and we thought we were going to get a competent, experienced coach who would get rid of entitlement and all these things. And then you look at what we've gotten on the field, and there's twice as many penalties as this time a year ago under Gerard Mayo, 6 times as many turnovers, the same record. He's had some issues in the media where he's kind of had to backtrack from some things he said, similar to Mayo. I feel like we're not getting the Mike Vrabel we expected or the results of it. Is that fair to say early on here?
Yeah, I think probably results, you know, and I think that it's really interesting. And I'll just give you kind of what's gone on in Denver since Sean Payton has taken over. you can't completely clear out your organization and completely, you know, flip it overnight. That's a process that takes you a couple of seasons. And so I think there are guys that you look at as part of your organization. You want the right people. You want guys that are committed. You want guys that consistently do the right thing and are going to be in the right place and do it the right way. And unfortunately, you just can't completely, you know, get rid of everybody in your organization. So that's something that takes time. And I just remember this training camp sitting around with the owner of the Broncos and him saying, "Hey, listen, man, like, this is Greg Penner. Like, we really feel like it's taken us 3 years, but we've kind of cleaned house. We've got rid of some of the guys, you know, that are the quote unquote, you know," and I'm paraphrasing here, "but clubhouse lawyer type of guys. We got rid of some of the guys that, you know, are kind of selfish type of guys. And we feel like we've got the right makeup of dudes now." And that is so important. So, you know, part of that, the undisciplined football, the penalties and some of those things, you know, some of them is just, hey, sometimes it's youth. Sometimes it's just, hey, we got to play a guy that we don't really want to play. There's all that stuff. And it takes time. So, you know, I'm sure they're working really hard at trying to fix and rectify those situations. And sometimes it may take a year or two before you get to the point, or a year anyhow, before you get to the point where you feel like you've got the right roster in place.
One of the aspects of this team, Stink, that I was sold on being a big part of the offense would be the running game. And I thought, now obviously the fumbles are a problem, but I thought the Patriots would be a power running team at first, not putting Wilson and Will Campbell on pass pro as much, utilizing their raw strength and experience, you know, to set up the passing game. Yet it feels like the Patriots are passing way more than anticipated. Drake May has almost 800 yards passing. But the leading rusher on the team is also Drake May with only 87 yards after three games. I mean, how do you think they can get this running game going? Because it is obviously stuck in the mud.
Yeah, well, I think part of that is figuring out what we are good at. And, you know, the answer may be we're not really good at much right now, you know, when it comes to running the ball. But you got to figure out, hey, what are you good at and what are teams doing to us? So if you go back to that Pittsburgh game, how many times did we see them, you know, pinching and stunting both in the pass game but in the run game? And so when you get a lot of pinch and stunt or pinch and scrape by linebackers and all of a sudden Patrick Queen is in the backfield making a tackle and, you know, all of a sudden the penetrator gets in the backfield and, you know, makes a tackle for no gain or minus one. Like, those things are hard to overcome, and they put you in situations where you can't work on your run game, where you say, hey, man, it's second down and 12. We can't give the ball. We can't just hand it off again and get a three-yard gain and be, you know, in third down and whatever that math is, nine or whatever. So, like, I just – math is not my strong suit. I just – you guys probably figured that out. But you know what I'm saying? It's just one of those things that sometimes that happens. And one of the things – you know, that I've always believed in and, you know, in some of the jobs I've gotten as a consultant and things with NFL teams that, you know, trying to figure out their run game, I've always been one of those guys that say, hey, give me one thing that we can do, one thing that we can do well, and let's build off that one thing. And you can disguise that one thing, like you can sit there and major in one kind of concept, right? And you can change up formationally, you can change up personnel-wise, you can change up from a motion and a shift standpoint, and you can run the snot out of that. And it may look like, you know, seven things to the defense, but to us as an offense, it's really one thing. Let's get good at it, and then let's build off it. How many play-action passes can we build off of that? How many different concepts can we build off that? Hey, what's the adjunct in the run game? If I get you playing this scheme, what can I take advantage? If I get you playing the scheme, instead of just the blocking, just like the blocking concept, if I can get you playing the scheme, what's the counter to that particular scheme? And so those are the things that I think you have to do when you're not really having success. And oftentimes, and this was always one of my big pet peeves as a player, is don't make, like, you guys ever go to Cheesecake Factory?
Yeah, sure.
Dude, I hate that freaking menu.
Too,
like,
big
there's
for
so
you?
Much crap. It's way too big. It's way, so I eat, when I go to the Cheesecake Factory, I eat one thing. One thing only. It's a teriyaki steak with wasabi mashed potatoes. It's the only thing I've ever eaten there. Because I tried it once and it was delicious. And then I was like, I cannot deal with this menu. I cannot go through this damn thing. So I eat the same thing every time I go in. And that was one of the things that drove me crazy as a player. Give me, like, let's simplify. Let me just be an expert. It's like the 10,000 hour rule. Hey, man, we may major in wide zone or even mid zone, but I've run it 10,000 times. You've defended it 100 times. And I'm better than you, and I know it. And so I'm going to run it down your throat. And that's why Vrabel doesn't like me, because every time we played him, we ran it down his throat, and he didn't have success. So this is going to be a really interesting meeting. I hope he's listening to this.
Vrabel and our guy Ted Johnson probably feel the same way about that, just running it down their throats.
Can I just tell you,
yep.
Ted Johnson's head and his head and his neck are made of cinder block and rebar. That dude has got... It's like having a keg on top of your shoulders, that neck and head. That dude was something, man. He was, and I pride myself on having a really hard head, but I think he got me on that one.
So I'm taking it you felt the power. I believe he calls it stun and separate, where he utilized his head to stun offensive linemen and then separate from them. You felt the power of that?
Yeah, he got me once. He got me once on. I got caught up. We're down by the goal line in Denver playing Ted Johnson and the Patriots. And you know, sometimes when you're going on a combination block, like you're scooping out the backside, and it's you and an offensive tackle, and the D tackle kind of grabs onto you, and you're trying to work yourself up to the next level. But you don't have your hands, and you're kind of the guy's got a hold of your, you know, the defensive holding. They're holding you.
Yep.
And all you have is your head. You just stick it out there. And Ted Johnson comes from about 5 yards deep, like a heat seeking missile with just nothing but that forehead and that neck. And he catches you right in the side of the helmet, and your knees just buckle, and you just flop to the ground. Yeah, he's gotten me on that one before.
Well, hopefully you have a better experience this week watching the Patriots game than that experience playing against the Patriots. We're all in the same boat together. We just want an entertaining and maybe a somewhat clean football game for you on Fox on Sunday. So we'll talk about
it. Thank you. But just a point of order. We won that game, so I had a good experience.
Love it.
Even though I got knocked out, we still won, so I had a good experience.
Perfect. All right, we'll talk to you next week, Mark. Right. Thanks, man.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Stink.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. I knew we'd get a Ted Johnson story out of Mark Schlereth at some point. We'll have to share that with the big guy in about 15 minutes when he gets here to WEEI Afternoons. Up next, some interesting comments from Jason Tatum. He's been making the media rounds today, and we've all said, well, it's Jaylen Brown's team for this season. Jason Tatum said, not so fast, my friend. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
For one, this is like maybe the third time I haven't said I'm not playing this season.
No. Okay.
The most important thing is a full recovery, being 100%.
That's right.
Not rushing.
Yeah, don't rush back.
At all.
Don't do that.
But also, I don't go to rehab 6 days a week for nothing.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Jason Tatum on ESPN, also making the rounds today. He had similar comments on Good Morning America, I think, ABC. Today's show, he's been, I don't even know what he's pimping. Like, I haven't heard the product. It seems like he's making the rounds, and usually when somebody's making the rounds, there's
something they're promoting or doing, but that was interesting if you're a Celtics fan right there. There's a lot to unpack there. He almost seemed perturbed for like the third time. Well, that's how it works, Jason. When you do multiple interviews, they're going to ask similar questions for different radio stations and TV stations.
They don't rebroadcast the stuff that you said to the Today Show on First Take. You have to do it all over again. Sorry, buddy.
Let's pretend it was the first time you were asked that question, but hasn't said he's not playing this season and isn't going to rehab 6 days a week to not play. Do we think this is just him saying what he feels like he should be saying or not giving up, being a competitor? Or when you hear that, Fitzy, do you believe there's a legitimate chance we're going to see Jason Tatum this year?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, all in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And going beyond the whole, like, I think it was like 2 months ago, there were some messages traveling around like, oh, Jason Tatum, word is he thinks he's ahead of schedule and he's walking when he should only be doing this, and now he's able to run, and like everything's been expedited. It's not like Roman Anthony and the oblique recovery, like, hey, I'm able to do 25 minutes on a treadmill like I'm a mall power walker, you know, in Florida. Like, no, Tatum's doing well, it seems. And it would not surprise me at all, Andy, as we do this show on September 23rd, if in late February or early March, as the Celtics, certainly probably not as good as last year, but looking to, you know, land a playoff spot in the top four of the Eastern Conference, get a nice boost when Tatum comes back and can play 15, 20 minutes a night. The dude's an X-Man. Look at him. Doesn't it look like he'd be somebody, a candidate for an expedited recovery?
So we're going to go down the Aaron Rodgers road. Remember, it was Aaron Rodgers. If they were in playoff contention, he was going to play that December, whatever, expedited.
Jets.
Then a year later, he kind of looked terrible and didn't look good at all. Now maybe he's back to full health. I can also give you the perspective of, you guys know I'm sort of the president of the Jaylen Brown fan club. The conspiracy theorist in me says, oh, is Jason Tatum not like Jaylen Brown getting all the fanfare? It's his team. I'm just gonna remind everybody I'm still here and I could be here at any point. So don't get too comfortable in the lead chair, Mr. Brown. I am going to be back sooner rather than later. I haven't even given up on this season. Any truth to that, Fitzy?
I would love to play radio with you just knowing how much you love Jaylen Brown, but hell no. Jason Tatum loves basketball. Jason Tatum wants to come back and continue developing his legacy. Jason Tatum knows how much he would improve that team. I think he wants to prove a point, because there were people like you who gave him the business when he went down in May, like, oh, you know, I've seen other people have worse injuries and not flop around the floor and blah, blah, blah. Like, I think he wants to come back.
Okay, that's a fact. That wasn't a criticism as much as a fact. I've never seen somebody do that roundabout pinwheel that he did on the floor.
Well, ever. What if it hurt like all holy hell?
I assume other people had injuries that hurt like all holy hell. I've never seen the pinwheel effect on a
well, now you've
NBA
seen
court.
Now you've seen the pinwheel effect on the court, on the floor of MSG.
Okay? I actually like this, because I think if my guy Jaylen Brown can keep them in the hunt long enough to know that Jason Tatum could be coming to help out if you get into the playoffs as a 4 seed, a 5 seed, whatever you're going to be at that point, because the team is worse. They dismantled the team. It's not like probably worse. They dismantled the team. The team is worse. And if Jaylen Brown can keep it afloat long enough for Jason Tatum to join, that could give us a fun spring and early summer. We could, you know, dream of maybe a little playoff run. A team like, oh my God, the best addition to any NBA team heading into the postseason is going to be Jason Tatum, even if he only gives you 16 or 18 minutes or whatever it might be early on.
Yeah, this is not my 3-point stance. This is not my hot, fresh take on one of the big stories. Yeah, I know, that's why I'm not allowed. But like
255 stance.
Is my 255 stance. I dare say, two Celtics seasons ago, incredibly enjoyable. What a joy ride. What a parade. What a title. Last season, I don't think it was terribly fun for a lot of people. Oh, you don't like winning, Fitzy? No, because there was the expectation of, you guys are still together, you guys better repeat. There was a lot of pressure on them. They were not able to deliver. I thought it was a little joyless and kind of stagnant at times. Witness that stretch in the wintertime where the Celtics did not play like themselves. And they got slow and tired. Now, I'm going to hazard a guess, people are going to be way more into this team. Because why? The expectations have been lowered. So if Jason Tatum comes back, he elevates them a little bit. People are going to look at the Celtics like scrappy underdogs come March or April. I think that would be a great spot for them to turn some heads and surprise some folks.
With or without Jason Tatum, this is definitely a more interesting Celtics team. But if Jason Tatum is a carrot at the end of the season, that he may be out there to join the squad, they're even more interesting. You're right. Expectation last year created this sense of entitlement in the fan base and then disappointment in the fan base when they didn't live up to those expectations. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, it is indeed, as Fitzy alluded to, time for the three-point stance. Ted Johnson's here. Ted Johnson was listening to Mark Schlereth glorify the old days of banging heads on the football field. But I'm going to tell you a trade, an NFL trade that involves your New England Patriots that could solve everybody's turnover problems. Is it radio? Yes, because we're doing radio. But it's a fun, exciting three-point stance trade idea next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.